Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I love the fact that a Twitter spokesman told Forbes today that it's quite possible that once Donald Trump is out of the White House, no more Twitter. Would that not be the ultimate punishment to ban Trump from Twitter? I think it would be fabulous. But he would probably end up over at Parler and all of the, what a horrible thought that is. Good. Let him go. Anyway, lots to get to, lots to talk about. Very excited. My next guest, Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Tons of news to get to. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday back at you. So what do you think? No Trump for Twitter or no Twitter for Trump?
I like the idea of him turning to Parler, although one of the things that I saw today, I think, was a screen capture of somebody saying that Parler's no fun because they can't yell at liberals. It's like, well,
I have a Parler account. I've gone on there and it's really difficult to use. It's disjointed. And the people are just morons. Because I've tried to engage with people on a couple of levels, and it's just, never mind.
When you signed up, did they ask you for your social security number?
No, I would have never given that.
Okay. Because one of the things is that Parler started by the Mercers, which is the same group for the, the tech group that was doing all kinds of data mining on the Trump campaign. So I'm always worried that there's a lot of collaboration going on here, and I'm way too paranoid about stuff like that. So I feel weird using Facebook anymore. The thing about Twitter is that I felt so, it was such a catharsis to unfollow Trump. I can't remember what day it was,
that but we
it
talked
was one
about
of those things for. Yeah, and I was just like, done. I'm done.
And I never followed him.
I wish I didn't have to.
I checked his stuff every day, but I went and I checked his stuff when I wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't have any notifications because I don't want you bugging me. I'm not going to be a slave to ding. Oh, here, quick look at this. When I want to find something, I know where it is. I'll go get it. I'm a big boy. I can figure that out.
That was the hard part, is that I needed the notifications for when I was working, but for some reason the notifications for, you know, having things timed on Twitter, you no longer could shut off when you did and didn't get notifications. So I would get it when I wasn't working. So then finally I just like canceled notifications on my phone, and then it really just wasn't even popping up that much anymore anyway, because it just got to be so bad. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to a Biden administration to where I don't have to check someone's Twitter feed every day to see if the world's going to end.
Hey, the president-elect just said to Jake Tapper this evening that he is not going to be making policy via tweet.
Well, I'm shocked, literally shocked at that.
Right.
let's get to the big stories. Project Syphilis. Veritas. Is there another word? I'm not buying the Project Truth thing because nothing they do is true.
Yeah.
But I guess the carrier, he could end up in jail for a year for this latest thing on CNN, right?
Yeah. So a thing about hacking into a nationwide, maybe even global news, daily news call with everybody in the country is that every state that people, that a caller is in, has different laws about recording people. So like in California, if you record somebody without their permission, it's like a $2,500 fine and you go to prison for a year.
Pennsylvania too.
If all of these reporters were in different places and they were surreptitiously recorded by James O'Keefe, then those are each individual state would have to prosecute for under their laws. And so that's a whole lot of crime.
Right, which is why you don't see Project Syphilis here in Pennsylvania, because this is a two-party state. Both parties have to know they're being recorded. And you can't do the kind of backdoor stuff that this group does, and the creative editing that they do to create their fake narrative, which is why I believe nothing that they say whatsoever. They could drop the biggest bombshell in the world, and I wouldn't believe it because I don't trust them. Their credibility is out the window. It's shot completely. So I didn't even pay attention to what the allegations were to begin with. I have no idea what they've dreamt up.
I didn't even read it either because I knew it was going to be a lie anyway. But I just, again, you feel bad for all of these people who have to deal with lawyers and they have to deal with, denouncing whatever it was they tried to say. And they actually do have to watch it to figure out how it was actually edited and be able to release, PR statements about what really was said. And it's just such a hassle. So I feel bad for, the good people at CNN PR, who, by the way, are actually really good people. I love the PR department at CNN. They're good. So
let's talk about another person whose credibility is shot, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Evidently a new report out saying that, surprise, surprise, he's lying to everybody about COVID. Do we need a report for this?
Here's the thing. So this, the South Florida Sun Sentinel is the publisher of this. They sourced over 50 people. We're talking about doctors, public health officials, legislators, a huge swath of evidence. And this is not just like one story here about, DeSantis trying to quash any kind of actual reporting of the fatality numbers or the hospitalization numbers. This is literally every single thing that he has done from the beginning of the pandemic to the end. And all of the details in between. This is the story of everything. And it walks you through just this horrific way in which over and over and over again, he systematically instituted this base of fabrication. It was like policy. Lying became policy in the administration. And it was all for politics. He very consciously chose to lie to the people of Florida, and I would say everybody else in the country, saying, "Oh, Florida is safe; you can come here," and put thousands of people at risk, millions of people at risk, thousands who probably died because they believed what he said. And it was one of those stories where, as I read it, I just kept getting angry, more and more angry. Right, like. The rage was boiling, and I don't get that pissed off, I'm pretty good about staying optimistic and thinking about the best of things. And this is one of those things that really gets to me when you talk about basically just mistreating vulnerable people, taking somebody's trust and just stomping all over it. And there are a lot of people who trust their leaders, who trust their government for one reason or another. And it made me so mad. And my house is already clean. So like kind of I rage clean, and I was just like, God, I can't even do laundry. Like I'm done. I did all my laundry yesterday. So I was just like, oh.
Well, if you need some rage cleaning, we could use some help.
Right. I need to like clean out my fridge at this point. Like that's how bad it is.
My office needs to be clean. No, but here's the thing. Look, I trust our governor. I think our governor, Tom Wolf, has done a very good job. I think
he has. He's crushed it.
He has.
And our lieutenant governor.
And our lieutenant governor has done a great job. I think our secretary of health has done a great job. I think they have done the best that they can do, even with the idiots that are running around like Senator Mastriano, who ended up getting COVID and going to the White House. Even in the face of these idiots and morons who keep screaming, "Oh, I'm not wearing no stinking mask," I think he has done a great job of keeping this state relatively safe, given the fact that we were so close to New York at the time and we didn't have the kind of massive outbreaks that everyone was predicting. And that's because of his leadership.
Absolutely. And Pennsylvania is not the only state. There are a lot of states that are doing incredible things who are, I know the governor of Kansas has tried everything she can trying to protect people. And then the legislature is just fighting every mask order, every shutdown order. And it's just like, for the love of God, can you please just chill out and try and put people first here? Like, this cannot be a political issue. Why has it become so politicized?
Well, because, it's an us them thing. This is the Trump effect. I mean,
and that was So one of the interesting things, I don't know if you read one of the stories I did about Mary Trump today. She did this really great interview with The View. A lot of times when you see Mary Trump, she's on TV for like 5 minutes, and so she's really rushed to say things. She went into serious detail about the psychological impact of the Trump family. And one of the things that she said that is really impacting Donald Trump is that illness is kind of seen as a weakness,
right,
for him and for his family. So with her father, Fred Jr., alcoholism was a weakness. Well, now COVID has really become a weakness in Trump's mind. So wearing a mask, taking precautions, doing all of the things that we're supposed to do to be safe is seen as a weakness in his eyes.
But that's not that's not just Donald Trump. I think that's the male mentality anyway. I mean, because look, you know, if I'm not amongst a whole bunch of people, I'm probably not wearing a mask. If I'm out in the yard by myself, I'm not wearing a mask. I don't know what that is, but you know, I think it's a male thing more than it's just.
Well, wearing a mask really sucks. I don't know about you, but it makes me really claustrophobic. It's hard to breathe. It really sucks. And I spend a lot of time inside because I don't want to, you know, have to wear a mask when I go outside. And so, like, you know, I do a lot of stuff in my car, right? Like, that's the exciting thing I do for the day is go for a drive. And I live a crazy life. And so it's like, it's really a pain in the ass, and it's horrible, and it sucks. And so I don't necessarily think it's a male thing. You see a lot of women in grocery stores having fights with managers, you know, over the mask thing. It's just like the most thoughtful, caring, and the most important thing that you can do as an American is not just to protect yourself, but protect everybody else. And I don't understand how that kind of patriotism has been twisted into being a weakness. That right. just blows me away.
We're a selfish society. It just is what it is. But hey, the good thing is we still have all the entertainment we can possibly muster because the Trump Tantrum Tour is making its way across the country. Never mind the fact that we had over 3,100 people die yesterday from the virus and more than 200,000 people infected and more than 100,000 people hospitalized because of it. We're doing the conspiracy tour, of which Mitt Romney, I guess, said that Russia and China have to be laughing at us. And I'm going, do you think that's the only reason they're laughing at us?
Fair point. Very fair point. And one of the things I noticed, LOL GOP replied to that, and he was like, why do we care? You know, there are a lot of other important issues. I don't really care so much about Russia and China laughing at us. And I think one of the reasons that Mitt Romney actually went on TV and said that today is that when Trump hears that somebody's laughing at him, he's going to get triggered by that.
Yep.
So this idea that you're undermining democracy, you're making America look like a complete and total fool of a society. And I would say you're undermining democracy abroad. So Mitt Romney actually got really worked up, as much as Romney actually does, because he's pretty, you know, like 2% milk. He was really angry, and I get it. It's humiliating, seeing a president behave like that. But again, this is what we've been dealing with for the last 4 years.
Yeah. But here's the weird thing. I sat through the Trump Tantrum Tour here in Pennsylvania the day before Thanksgiving. Our good Senator, Super Spreader Mastriano, eventually was tested positive for COVID, shoved hundreds of people into a small ballroom in Gettysburg, nobody with masks on, hearing the most fanciful of fantasies and made up conspiracy theories, no one under oath, of course. And while I thought it was hysterical, Michigan one-upped Pennsylvania in a huge way. Did you see the crazy thing that went on in Michigan?
Boy, did I.
Who was that crazy woman who looked like crazy Victoria Jackson?
Somebody told me her name today, and I can't remember what it was. It was funny because it was like either she was Victoria Jackson or she was Cicely Strong in a wig. And then there became this conversation like, does Kate McKinnon play her in the SNL skit, or does Cicely Strong do it? And then
no, McKinnon has to play Rudy Giuliani.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it, I mean, that's the thing, that, you know, things are really bad whenever Rudy Giuliani is like leaning over and trying to pull on her shirt. Be like, hey, tone down the crazy a bit. And that is just, that is the part of the video that, you know, did my heart good at the end of a night, of a rough night of news.
All I tweeted out is Trump's paying $20,000 a day for that.
Hey, and you know, that's why Rudy Giuliani keeps going. $20,000 a day for this. We talked about this before. There are a lot of things that I would do. I would bake a whole lot of pies for $20,000 a day.
I'd learn how to bake a whole lot of pies for $20,000 a day. but also during the hearing, you had someone who said that there should be photo ID because all the Chinese people look alike.
Yeah, and made some comment about how whether a Cho or, I mean, the whole statement was really, really racist. And then it sort of sent me down this path of intellectualizing this idea where it's like, why again do we have this argument over voter ID? It's not like the voter books with everybody's name on it has a photo of them.
Right.
You know, like you could get some person to get a fake ID and just be like, here you go.
No, and to highlight person. And to highlight your point, you know, in Pennsylvania here, when we because we passed it here in 2012, in fact, our Speaker of the House said that the only reason they passed it was so Mitt Romney could be elected president. But our state Supreme Court chucked it out. And at the beginning of the trial, as in most trials, they come up with a stipulation of fact, and the Commonwealth under Governor Corbett at the time said that there had never been a case that voter ID would have stopped. There has never been anyone who's ever been convicted of voter fraud that voter ID would have stopped. They didn't know of any cases that existed, but they did it anyway because, well, it might happen someday. So again, this is a solution in search of a problem that has never existed, but they had to do it anyway.
And it's such a pain in the ass. And it's frustrating. And I feel like that's one of the things that we should really talk about when we talk about a new Voting Rights Act. I think we should give Republicans the option. If you want a national voter ID program, then that's cool. You just have to make sure that every single person in the United States has a voter ID before that election can be held. And until everybody has an ID, then nobody can, you know, force somebody to use a voter ID, a photo ID for it.
I've always said I've always said we should be just using our social security number. And I know it was never set up to be a personal ID number. It's what it's morphed into. That seems to me everyone's got one. That's the way to go. Now I know we could look it up and we could vote for dead people. There are always going to be things that irregularities and things that pop up. But to me, that's a starting point.
But here's the thing. Nobody does anything like this. They don't try and vote illegally.
Well, we had two cases here in Pennsylvania.
But two cases out of how many million?
A guy thought his son was going to vote for a Democrat, so sent his ballot in illegally. And another person voted for their dead mother, a Trump supporter. So yeah, we found two cases. The problem is for Trump supporters, they were on your side of the aisle.
Yeah. And even the people who don't know what these laws are, that's the thing that really makes me sad, is that, you know, they throw the book at these people who didn't know that, you know, they weren't supposed to vote, or, you know, Texas, the woman who was sent back to jail for 5 years because she didn't know that a felon couldn't vote. And so she showed up to the polls and they just handed her a ballot. Nobody told her. And I mean, you have to wonder, like, what is the point? Why are you trying to actively dissuade the democratic process? And obviously we know that it's because with greater suppression comes more Republicans. And
Paul Weyrich was very clear about that back in 1980. You know, he was talking to 20,000 Baptist ministers down in Dallas, said, you know, how many people want everyone to vote? I don't want everyone to vote. You know, our leverage goes up as the voting populace goes down. Very clear. As long as we can suppress those people. In fact, we had a governor here, Tom Corbett, who said if we could just hold down the vote in Philadelphia, we'll do fine.
Yeah.
He was honest about it. If we could just keep those people from voting, we will win. Scary.
And that's the same kind of thing that Donald Trump is talking about now. It's like, oh, Philadelphia, you know, it's a sketchy place with those voters there. Yeah, no. Have you been to Philadelphia? Awesome people.
Awesome.
Super good food.
But it's the same thing when you're talking about Detroit or Milwaukee or Cleveland, mm-hmm. or any city that has a large minority population. The Republicans don't want them voting, which is why they always get crappy machines, why they have a shortage of machines and lines are miles long. And yet I go into my district and you don't wait more than a half an hour ever.
Yeah. I mean, I've voted by mail for the last several elections, so it's been a while. But I want to say the last time I voted in a primary in person, I voted first thing in the morning and I was like fifth in line at my church. And just like, man, this should be the way it is for everybody.
I agree. Let's move along. Evidently, the Trump organization is being sued by its tenants. Didn't we already know that Trump was doing this stuff? That, you know, because I seem to remember this story from a couple of years ago where they would replace a boiler. It might cost like $20,000-$30,000 and then charge them like $60,000. I seem to remember this story for a while. Is this new?
So this is one of those things that's now going to the Supreme Court. And it is it's not just Donald Trump who's being sued in the Trump organization. It's all of the Trump children and one of their cousins. And it actually reminds me a little bit about some of the accusations that have been going around for the Jared Kushner property in Baltimore.
Maybe that's
it's
what it
really,
is.
And that's kind of what I thought, is that maybe, because I read that story and I was like, is this new? Did this really happen? And I looked around and what popped up is the Kushner story.
That must be what I was thinking.
This is a property with something like 30 buildings. This is thousands of residents and former residents that this would apply to. And it's basically like because it's a rent control property, they were trying to figure out ways that they could make bigger profits off of this. And so they jacked up all of these fees for repairs. So just like you were saying with the boiler, they'd charge $60,000 and when it was $5,000, and then the Trump family would pocket the rest. And it's just, you know, these are things that are very clearly outlined in the law, in renter's law. And it says that you can't do this stuff. And of course they did it. So that's going to go to court. And what they're asking for is, I think, back rent pay, interest, and three times the damages for every resident and former resident.
Nice.
So that's going to be a hefty sum if that's what the court agrees with.
That might bankrupt him again.
It might. It honestly might. I wonder if this is actually owned by the Trump organization or if it has its own subsidiary LLC, because I can see that just being a quick bankruptcy filing so that they don't have to pay it.
Yeah, ultimately, this is one of those moments where you go, this is where you should just be liquidating.
Yeah, for real.
Scary, scary stuff. But here's the good thing. When Trump leaves office in January, lots of legal opportunities for him to spend time. I understand the daughter, Ivanka, has been deposed over the inaugural fraud that evidently went on. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oops.
It turns out
they, so Ivanka tried to say, oh, we need to give everybody a fair market rate, except that for some reason, whenever people were trying to, nonprofits and political organizations were trying to rent spaces in the Trump Hotel, they were being upcharged by like 34% than what the normal fee is. And so this idea that, no, we offered a fair market rate. It's like, you really can't lie about these numbers. They upcharged 34%. Why did they do it just during this time period? And obviously it's because it was the inauguration,
right,
and they wanted to make more money off of it. So Ivanka tried to spin this whole thing saying, well, I told them to make it a fair market rate. It's like, that's not your defense. Like, that's not a good defense here. Your defense should be about why they didn't charge a fair market rate. It doesn't matter what you told them or what you said in an email to try and cover for yourself. The reality is you broke the law and now you're being investigated for it. And you had to answer questions for 5 hours to the Attorney General of Washington, D.C. So,
any chance that they go to jail over this?
Probably not. It would probably just be a really hefty fine. I honestly don't anticipate they're going to even own this hotel for much longer. And it'll be sold off to whoever else wants to buy it. And then hopefully, bless the poor people of the FBI, can move back out to the suburbs and get rid of that property.
Because, you know, I have a lot of listeners who, you know, they're really hoping and betting on Trump and the whole Klan, you know, being residents of the Grey By Hotel, you know, wearing nice pinstripes with, you know, shiny bracelets. Do you see that happening?
You know, I really don't know. I think that has been a big conversation with a lot of folks about who know a hell of a lot more than I do. I think a lot of these financial crimes are going to end up being mostly fines. Some of the bank fraud in New York, that may end up being something that either, you know, I can see a probation thing or something like that happening. And it really just depends on what the Biden Justice Department does. There are a couple of former prosecutors who said, you know, under normal circumstances, you could probably walk away and be like, this is not a big deal. For Trump, I don't think that that's possible.
It's my mindset, and this is where I hope I'm wrong, because, you know, there are always a number of times where I hope I'm wrong. I don't see them prosecuting him. I don't see him spending a day in jail. Some fines, some settlements, some quiet stuff. I just don't see them locking anybody up, because rich people don't go to jail in this country, even people who pretend to be rich.
I don't know if he would necessarily go to jail, but I think the main thing that I think it was Glenn Kirshner said, former prosecutor said, explained that if you don't prosecute Trump, especially for the effort that he put forth to try and obstruct justice during the Mueller investigation, you're really nullifying the entire special counsel's office.
Yep.
You're making it totally pointless.
But we didn't go after W. Bush for the lies that got us into a war. We didn't go after anybody who crashed the economy during the Wall Street collapse. And I just don't see us doing it now. But I hope I am wrong.
Yeah, I hope so.
Anyway, I love the shirt by Don. with the Union Bug, good on you. But as always, Sarah, I appreciate the time. Always fun talking with you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Our good friend, Sarah Burris, Raw Story. Make sure you check out her work. They do fantastic work over there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people on the talk.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.